We had left off in Genesis 32 and verse 28. We see in the encounter of Peniel, the fifth encounter that Jacob has with the Lord. That encounter, God wrestles with Jacob. And in this wrestling is to bring him to the place of surrender and to bring him to the place of honesty. And the reason why the Lord said later that he had prevailed with God is because he came to the place of honesty. And in verse 29, when Jacob asks him to tell him his name, he said that he didn't have a need of knowing and blessed him there. But in that experience, Jacob learned to be honest, because in God's wrestling with him, he brought him to a place where he asked him what his nature was, what the intrinsic value of his person was. And he admitted, as he came before the Lord, he admitted really what he was. He didn't try to pretend he was someone he wasn't, but he came before the Lord in honesty. This is reflected in the second phase of this encounter with the Lord, because when he had finished encountering the Lord, or when the Lord had finished encountering him, his report of the place brings out this point that I have just mentioned. And so in verse 30, where we're going to pick it up today, it says, "And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel." This is a Hebrew name. And it says, "For I have seen God face to face." Now remember that it was said in Exodus 33 that you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live, said the Lord. And that is why the Lord wanted to leave him while it was still dark, lest he see his face. But Jacob says, "I saw his face and lived, and my life was preserved." And here, when Jacob names the place Peniel, he meant it because he had met the Lord face to face. Now remember that in the other encounters that Jacob had, it had been in dreams. And in the encounters that he had with angels, he had seen the angels face to face. But he had never really seen the Lord face to face. So I'd like to take a few moments tonight as we talk about Peniel, and let us know that one of the reasons why we bear the name on our church is because it has been a place where people have met with the Lord face to face. Has been a place where we have actually and literally come into the presence of our Lord. And the accent isn't as much on seeing, although Jacob and Moses saw the Lord. They saw him. In the case of Moses, the Lord wouldn't let him see his face. He clouded it over, but allowed him to see his glory from behind. The face of the Lord was seen by Jacob, and Jacob says he got a peek at it before the angel disappeared, the angel of the Lord, which was Jesus. He got to see the face of Jesus before Jesus disappeared out of his sight. To see the face of the Lord was a tremendous experience. It was a tremendous privilege to see the face of the Lord. Now, the face of the Lord isn't the same as the hands of the Lord. There's different places of his body. But the face is the place of total expression. You can say something, but if somebody's looking at you, they can see you roll your eyes while you're saying. They can see the sarcasm, or they can see the untruthfulness. That is why parents will ask a child to look at them when they're telling them something they're expecting them to lie about, because you want to see. Now, some of them get to be so good that even with an open face and face to face, they can still lie to you and pretty well get away with it. But for the most part, the face is the expression of the person. The face is the part of the individual that reveals who they really are. Now, Jacob not only said he saw God's face, but it says, "I have seen God face to face." Now, here Jacob mentions his face and God's face meeting, because it is necessary in an encounter with God that can be named Peniel that both faces meet. It's not just that you have your head down and take a quick glance at the face of God, but that you have to have your face wide open before the Lord too. Because the Lord is looking deep inside of your spirit, and you are looking inside of His. The face is what gives you entrance into that person, and that which gives the person an exit. Your spirit can exit, and people can tell exactly what's inside of you. And you can impart yourself into someone who will make eye contact with you. That is why when you walk down the street, you men, and you see women that are trying to make eye contact with you, if you so much as make eye contact with you, their perverse spirit that's in them of adultery and sensuality and perverseness will get into you, and you'll be wrestling with it for a few hours that day. The same with men. Try to seek out. And there are times when people are very honest and very open about it, and they seek eye contact just for affirmation or for comfort or because they're having a bad day and someone has just the brightness and clarity of God on them and happiness and joy is reflected on their face, and those people need it. So they'll try to make eye contact with you to receive an impartation from your spirit. And if you'll give them eye contact for just a moment, there is an interchange of impartation. That is why when you make eye contact with the person, if you detect anything that is not right, you need to come out. Instead of receiving, you need to be giving. And you need to impart to them a spirit of holiness if they've got a spirit of perverseness in them and they're seeking your eyes because they're seeking something after you. You need to send something back through your eyes to them that says, I'm sorry, but I'm not doing business. But something that sends the holy conviction of your Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit that's in you into their heart, so that for the rest of the afternoon they are struggling and fighting with a spirit of conviction in them over this spirit that's dominating their life. Now I use this as an example because it's easier for us to lay hold of it. But tonight the Holy Spirit would like us to know that what Jacob was talking about is that he had an experience with God where he made eye contact with God, where what God had was imparted into him, and that he got an x-ray of everything he was into God. And so he learned something about God because God revealed himself to him that day. But Jacob refers to that experience different than God does. God says, you prevailed in wrestling with me. I came and wrestled with you, but you prevailed. Now the prevailing of Jacob was in weakness. We covered that the last time. And Paul speaks that when I'm weak, then am I strong. He says that death worked in him that life might work in others. That is the place where Jacob prevailed. Jacob did not prevail in strength. Jacob prevailed in weakness. Jacob wrestled with the Lord, but prevailed in that when God was finally through fussing with him and wrestling with him, he became honest with God. At one point in his encounter with God, face to face, he chose to come to God with an unveiled face, with an honest face. I know sometimes it shocks us when we hear a person that's being honest in the congregation in their prayer before God, and they're just telling him as it is. That shocks us. Most churches cannot stand that. They would even call it of the devil to try to wipe it out of their church because there's no way they can stand that much light. However, you won't find that on any place that has Peniel as their name, because if they do, then they're not wearing their name right. They are not wearing their name. They just have it outside on a building. Because anyone that has Peniel has to have a place where people can be honest with God and straightforward with God. And if you're there to listen, that's your problem. You should be just as honest at the same time that they're being honest. To look at God face to face means that you're making eye contact, and whatever's in you is transparent and is apparent. That is why in churches that bear this name that we do, we believe in public confession, but I don't believe that people should just walk in the church and start confessing. But I do believe that when the Holy Spirit's conviction comes down on the congregation and begins to operate on you, that's when you need to start talking out some of the stuff that you've got inside of you and be open and transparent with God. And many of the times that can take place at home when you're alone, but sometimes it takes place when we're in public. And I've noticed that when that does take place, we're all being exercised by the same spirit of conviction, so no one's there trying to take note of what's your problem. Because I've got mine while you have yours. But God needs to teach us how to come to God and be honest, because many times we're just a straightforward lie when we come to God. We sing songs to God about how we love Him when the truth of the matter is we've been angry with Him all day. The best thing you could do while we're singing love songs to the Lord is tell Him how much you've been angry with Him all day long. And be honest with God, because when we make eye contact with God, and I'd like to say what eye contact is, because many times we have a way of thinking that this is just like it is in the natural, it is in the spirit. Well, many times we don't see God with our natural eyes, but we do see Him with our spirit eyes. And we need to understand that our spirit eyes aren't the same as our natural eyes. And that sometimes the face-to-face encounter isn't necessarily the eye contact, but the face-to-face encounter, meaning that you're not hiding your face, you're not veiling your face, you're not putting a mask on your face. A mask hides identity. A veil is, if I could describe what women put on their face to hide blemishes, a veil is put on women's face to hide different parts of their body. In different countries of the world, they hide their mouth, or they'll hide their nose and face so that they can't be seen in public other than by their husband. So the whole idea of veils and masks, the whole idea behind it is covering, trying to mask something, trying to keep something from being apparent. This is what happened to Moses one time when he was before the presence of the Lord, when he had a face-to-face encounter with God, because God says, I speak to him mouth to mouth. I speak to him right here, real close, just like a friend would speak to a friend. Now, he didn't allow him to see him at that point, but he was with God face to face. And that's a point that I would like to make. In the case of Jacob, he actually saw God's face. And God saw his face because he looked into his face and he didn't hide anything from God. The whole purpose of the experience of Peniel, the same as with Jacob, that we experience God with openness and without hiding anything from Him. Because we can come to God with our heart and hide our face. We can come to God without honesty. We can come to God with outright lies. We can come and pretend like everything's all right and we're living in sin right now. Or we can come before the Lord and we're in total rebellion and we're singing songs about surrender. I surrender all. And we're living in absolute rebellion at this point in our life. We are now allowing God to get into our stuff and to correct us and to discipline us in areas of our life. And God's dealing with us about certain things in our life. And we are now allowing Him to get into our stuff. And when we come to church, we have learned that when God is distant, we can be as we want to be. But when the Lord's presence is there, and when the Lord is near and He lets you know that He's there face to face with you, when the Lord comes, He says that every time we gather together, He is in the midst of us. But He doesn't always manifest Himself. You're not always aware that He is there. When you are aware that God is there, He has removed the veil. His face is open. And you can tell what's happening with the Lord because He's being straightforward and honest with you and He's revealing Himself to you. And the expressions of God are being known. You can see the expressions of God through the minister, or you can see when there's a high anointing. You can see if the expression on God's face is one of delight over His people or if it's one of anger. You can tell whether it's the holiness of God that's coming down, looking down into your being, trying to get something out of you that you're not willing to give to Him. Or you can tell whether God has an open heart of love toward you and is trying to love on you. Because many times when the Lord's presence is manifest in our midst, it's a moment, an hour of love. And you feel comforted and loved by the Holy Spirit. And the face of God is kind and soft toward you. But there are other times when the face of the Lord is hard toward you. And you can tell that He's come to do business. He doesn't want any shenanigans from us. He doesn't want for us to lie to Him. When He comes to us and says, do you have a need? He doesn't want us to tell Him that we have a toothache. When the truth of the matter is, we're living in sin. God wants us to be honest with Him. And Jacob had a face-to-face encounter with God. And the reason that Jacob put it this way is because it wasn't just that God was honest with him and that God was straightforward with him. It wasn't that Jacob just saw God's face. It's that Jacob had to show God his face. That's why it says face-to-face. I believe that there's going to be a day when we die and we appear in heaven when we will see God face to face. I honestly believe in my heart that there's going to be a day when you'll see God and you will see what He looks like and you will see God for what He is, and we will see God face to face. And in that hour, we'll have nothing to hide. All this flesh will have dropped off, and we will have come into a total atmosphere of truth where our whole being is full of truth. And so we can approach God with an open face and not with a hidden face. And so here we find in this experience that Jacob says, I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose, it says in verse 31, it rose upon him, and he limped on his hip. Now, we talked about Jacob being touched in his hip, but the sun began to come up to where you could actually physically see. And so what I want to point out here to you is that the seeing that Jacob speaks of here was a spiritual seeing and not a physical seeing, because you cannot see in night. You cannot see while it's dark. And God wanted to leave him before he could naturally see him, because Jacob would have died. His life would not have been preserved. And so many times people will tell you that they see Jesus in visions and in dreams. An open vision means that you're just awake like you are right now, and there comes Jesus. And people have seen Jesus and seen his face. Many people have been before the presence of God and seen God, but they had to be out of their body. They couldn't see it with these natural eyeballs, and your body could not see him. If you see him, you die. So Jacob says that his life was preserved because he had an open vision, because he thought he was awake. He thought it was his natural eyes that were seeing the Lord, but they're not. It's not your natural eyes, it's your spiritual eyes, and God's imprinting in them on your natural eyes, because if your natural eyes ever see Jesus in his glory, you would die. Now Jesus, because he's in the flesh now, and he's given to appear in the flesh, can appear to us now in a way that we can see him without you dying. The disciples, after Jesus came back from the resurrection, they saw him in his resurrected bodies, and none of them died. Well, of course they did, but I mean not in that experience. And so we can see Jesus. And Jesus said that he was the reflection of the Father, that he was the image of the Father. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And so it's not that the Father looks exactly like Jesus, because the Father made Jesus' body, and he made it to look after him. But God also made our body. And he said, when God made man, he said, let him make man in our own image. And so we look like God too, but we don't look like one another. And so there's a similarity to God, but it isn't the exactness of God. No one has really seen God other than those that have gone to heaven in a vision or have left their body in a trance and come back in it, which is a spiritual experience. And so I'd like to bring forth that many of us have spiritual experience, many of us seeing God, and many of us experiencing God without seeing him, but being face to face like Moses did. In the case of Jacob, he saw God face to face. In the case of Jesse Duplantis, he saw God face to face, but was out of his body. In the case of Paul, he fell off his horse under the power and went in the Spirit, saw the Lord. He had an open vision of Jesus. In the case of Moses, he saw God, but didn't see his face. He was with him face to face. And that's what we are when God manifests his presence in this place and in many other places where we've been, where the Lord has manifested himself. We have been with God face to face. And when we are with God face to face, he expects us to approach him with honesty, because God is truth. God is truth. And everything has to be truth with him. God can't deal with a lie. God can't deal with a fake. God can't deal with a counterfeit. God destroys those. In order for God to deal with us, we have to come to him like he comes to us. Whatever he says, that's what he feels. I want to say tonight that many of us are so experts in reading between the lines because we're used to dealing with people. We're used to dealing with human beings, which never really tell you what they mean. They're only telling you what they want you to hear. And so many times they're just flattering you, but they don't mean a word of it. They're telling you how beautiful you look, but all they want is some favors. They don't really mean what they're saying. And if they ever disclose what they're thinking when they see you, probably thinking you're one mad cow. Or they're probably thinking that you're one of the meanest personalities they've ever seen in your life. But it's so good to meet you, sir. It's just such a pleasure. No, it's not. If you could hear what they're saying, then, man, you know what? This lady needs to fix herself up because she looks ugly. That's what they were saying in their spirit. But what they were saying when they came and approached you is such a pleasure to meet you. No, that's not the truth. Now, we are so used to doing that, and we are so used to trying to interpret what people are saying and what they meant by what they're saying, that most of us draw our conclusions wrong from what people say. It's very hard for us when we get somebody that comes into our acquaintance that tells us things just like they are, that have what it takes to just tell you what they think. Now, those people, we think of them as people that are not too, they don't have too much culture. They're not too refined. We need to take them to a country where they can learn a little bit of manners. Have you ever noticed children how honest they are? Oh, Mama, look how ugly that lady is. Shut up! So we're teaching our kids not to really say what's true. Oh, Mama, did you see that elephant that just walked by? Oh, Mama, I don't ever want to be fat like that. And this poor man that walked by with this thing that's floating like this, and these legs that come together everywhere almost like one, and, you know, they might be sick. They might have an illness. They might have some serious problems in the glands of their body. They might have, I mean, these people are to be pitied and to be helped. These people are to be gotten alongside of and try to find the solution for them. Do you think they like themselves like that? How about these people that are so skinny and anorexic? They look like a couple broomsticks walking together, held together by a rubber band in the middle and just work like an X like this. A little child will tell you, oh, Mama, oh, Daddy, you know, and they'll say some ugly things. No, they're not. They're saying truthful things. But we have been taught from childhood not to really say what is true and not to ever communicate what is real and to live in a world of pretend. We live in a world of pretend over us. We live in a world of pretend over those that are around us. And we live a world of pretend with God. Isn't that true? I mean, anytime somebody stands up and says, God, you know, I've been so horrible today, I've walked away from you. I can say anything I want to say, but I don't want to say something that somebody could identify with and think I'm picking on you. But somebody could come up, you know, and say, the Lord, I'm so out of it, I've not even remembered you today, and I've been so totally out of it. God, would you forgive me? Because I've just been spending like it's like the world's going to last forever, and like I'm going to be a millionaire tomorrow and be able to pay for everything I'm doing today. Imagine somebody coming and telling God the truth. We're not ready for that. Anytime somebody does, the rest of us squirm. We're thinking, oh, I hope the Holy Spirit doesn't get a hold of me like that today. Well, that's just it. Anytime we experience God like Jacob does, that's what's going to happen to you. You're going to be brought to a place of honesty, face to face before the Lord. Face to face means that you can't hide it. You can't have your backsides toward the Lord and mumbling under your breath where nobody can hear what you're really saying. And God's talking to you, and he can say, are you listening to me? Why is it that wives always seem to know when you're not listening? You can be nodding at the right time. You can be smiling at the right time. You can be looking right at them. You're not listening to me. Do you know the only time my wife can tell? When she can see my face. If I'm in the other room or something and she says something to me, she just assumes I heard it. But if I'm anywhere near around her and my face is anywhere where it can be seen, she knows. Anytime your husband's got that glaze on his eyes, he's daydreaming. He's not listening to you. Not a word you said. Wives have a way of asking you to repeat the last 20 words they said. You can get the last 3 maybe, but not the last 20. I'm just throwing some examples out here. Because that's the way we are with God. The anointing of the Holy Spirit can be so strong in a meeting, and God can be talking directly to us through the mouth of flesh, but God can be talking directly to us. We're somewhere else. We're daydreaming. We're not there face to face. We're not there to really hear what he's got to say so that our life can change. You see, it's when we behold the Lord face to face that our life is transformed, that our life is changed. Jacob's life was changed in this experience, where he experienced God face to face. In that face to face experience, you got to be locked in. The words have got to go inside of you. They've not only got to go inside of you, but they've got to leave the hook inside, like with the fish, so that when God pulls the tug, you're there on the other end. Face to face means that we're just not disconnected listening to this sermon, and when we go home, we can't even remember what was said. Face to face means that you are encountering God with openness. Openness means letting things in. Face to face means that, you know, your ears don't face backwards, they face forward. Face to face means you're listening. Face to face means you're observing. When people cried out to the Lord, say, why do you hide your face from me? I'm in affliction. I'm in problems. Take note of my problem. Let your face shine upon me. They're asking God to turn his face toward them, because then he will take note of what's happening with them. He will focus on them. Why have you hidden your face from me, O God? Over and over and over in the scriptures. What does that mean? Why are you disconnected from me? Turn your face toward me, because I can tell when you're disconnected. When you're facing in the other direction, I can't hear too well. When someone talks to you in a sweet voice and turns around, many people in the scripture say, Lord, turn your face toward me. I'll find mercy. I'll find salvation. There'll be hope for me if you turn your face toward me. Let your face shine upon me. It is necessary to have face-to-face experiences with God. Psalms 24, verse 6. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek your face. The generation of those that seek your face. God is speaking of a people, a generation. This is Jacob. This is Jacob, a people, a generation of those who seek God's face. You see, Jacob wanted to know the truth from God. Most of us are afraid to know the truth from God. Most of us are trying to avoid the truth from God. This is where God said Jacob prevailed. Because Jacob not only let God look at his face, he had to take a good look at God's face. He'd been a scoundrel. God made him admit he was a scoundrel. Now he wanted to know what God was going to do with it. He wanted to know the truth. He wanted to know. When he had that face-to-face encounter with God, I have a feeling that God's wrestling was to get him pinned down enough to where he could look at his face, because he kept hiding his face from God. And that's the problem with 99% of all Christians in this world. I'll tell it to you really straight, like it comes into my spirit by the Holy Spirit. And that's that we live hiding our face from God. We live trying to hide the truth from God. And if we ever had to confess the truth to God and anyone's around it, it would make us cringe from the topmost hair on our head to our toe would begin to quiver. Because we live in hiding. We live hiding our face. We want people to have an image of us, but we don't want them to know the truth. We live hiding. Sometimes we don't even want our spouses to talk to the pastor about what's going on in our life, because we just as soon stay hiding. God can't do anything with transforming a thing in your life or helping change something in your or my life until we're willing to face him. So we're willing to turn a face toward God. God wrestled with Jacob to where he could see his face. There's one thing about wrestling. The whole object is to pin their what on the ground. Their shoulders. So that what faces up toward who's wrestling with them and conquering them. They don't pin their face to the ground like someone that's angry with you. Wrestling is all about pinning your back to the ground and making you face them. Making you face truth, making you face light, making you face reality. God is all about wrestling with us and searching out our face and looking into our face to see the truth. But we won't let him. God says about Jacob, he prevailed. He wrestled with me and prevailed. So God not only wrestled to pin Jacob down to be able to see his face, Jacob pinned God down to see his face. He didn't sit there like a crybaby. Why didn't you show your face to me? God, how long will you hide your face from me? It says here real clearly in Psalms 24:6, Jacob was of that generation that sought God's face. Most people are content with just seeking out God's hand. Do something for me, Lord. Heal me, touch me, bless me, prosper me, do something for me. As long as your hand is upon me, I'm fine. Let's not look at each other's face here. We're not ready for that. Peniel is about people facing God with truth and reality and with transparent openness without hiding. Without running, without faking it, but being honest before God. Sometimes when God comes, He comes to us face to face, and His presence is manifest in our midst. Some people even see Him because He takes them in the world of the Spirit. But it's not about seeing God's face. It's about God seeing your face, and in the Spirit, we're seeing God's face. God has shown His face to us many a time. When the Lord's presence comes, He wants you to be open and honest with Him. He doesn't want us to say sweet nothings to Him. He knows they're nothing. Sometimes we feel when I say open up, God's presence here, open up. I'm not trying to tell you to say sweet nothings you don't really mean to Him. God's wanting you to be honest with Him. That's the best time in the world to say, you know what, God, I have forgotten about you for 6 months and all I have in mind is my job and my bills and my family. And I've done nothing toward you or your kingdom to better your kingdom or to do anything else. I haven't even given my tithe, God. Would you please forgive me? I want to seek your face. Look, most of us spend our lifetime efforts running from God to avoid seeing His face. Jacob sought God's face. That's why God first started wrestling with Jacob to get him pinned down on the ground to where he could see His face. But Jacob did the same thing. He wrestled with God to pin him down and say, I want to see your face. What are you going to do with this mess? I got to know. Now you know what I am. I got to know what you're made out of. What are you going to do? Are you this God of mercy that they talk about? I want to see your face. Are you angry? I want to see your eyes. I want to see what you have in for me. I want to know the truth. I don't want to be told sweet nothings and then be hurled into the flames of hell forever. I want to know the truth. God told Jacob the truth. You'll find it in Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet was in the world of the Spirit one day and God revealed to him what took place here in Peniel. When God looked into his spirit face to face. When Jacob sought God's face out to know just exactly what he was thinking and saying, God told him. And Isaiah later told all the rest of us. God said, I looked to see if there was anything redeemable in you because I wanted to refine you. I put the fires of refinement under you. But he said, I could find no silver. I could find nothing redeemable. There was nothing good enough in you to redeem you. There was nothing good left in you enough to make you my child and to spare you from hell. And the next thing we hear Isaiah saying is, however, for my own name's sake, I redeemed you, Jacob. So God says, I saw that in you there was a worthless good for nothing. But when you sought my face out and put me on the spot for my own name's nature's sake, I decided to save you and redeem you. So this is your message, Jacob. I have redeemed you. Tell the world I redeemed Jacob. It's worth having a face-to-face encounter with God. Seek God's face out. Don't spend your life running from God. Sometimes the conviction of the Holy Spirit is here, and I see people wrestling and wrestling and wrestling with the Holy Spirit, not to know what He's trying to say and to face Him because they already know what He's saying. But to avoid Him. He'll do anything to fall under the power just so they can disconnect and avoid the moment of encounter. Or they'll stir up their emotions and just cry instead of facing God with truth. If God came to you right there and the Holy Spirit's convicting you over whatever it is, it's because He's ready to do business right there. If you would just seek God's face out, I want to know the truth. The truth is, I'm real angry with you. I am not going to let you live that way. I'm going to break one of your legs. I'm going to mess up your hip. I'm going to mess up your life real shortly. This thing that you think is going so good for you, I'm going to ruin it. Because I will not have you living this way. Seek His face out, and you're going to see some fire coming out of those eyes. And you're going to want to reconciliate with Him. You're going to want to make things right with Him. Say, all right, Lord, all right. Spare the stuff. What do you want out of me? I want you to quit doing what you're doing right now. Face-to-face encounter deals with stuff. Like Jacob's name, nature, was changed. When God cannot work on personality change and character change and flesh change unless He has a face-to-face encounter with us. While we're running, there's no eye contact. God needs eye contact. And I hope you're in the spirit here to understand that we're not talking about this human eyeball having to see God's eyeball. God's spirit. So if you're going to see Him, you have to see Him with your spirit eyeball. But meeting God face to face means that I am willing to let Him get into my stuff and tell me the truth. I can't tell you how many hundreds of people have been offended and even left the church or left a service when through me, let alone the hundreds of times that God might through somebody else or Himself have dealt with things in their life. But if God lets me prophesy something that isn't sweet and nice and that they don't like or don't understand or didn't want to hear, that wasn't from God. Hello. That's fine. Maybe it wasn't from God. How do you know? Rather than traipsing off and getting angry, why not seek God's face out like Jacob did? I know you're around here because you're wrestling with me. You want to see my face. I want to see yours. What's your name? You asked me mine. You made me be honest. What's yours? I said, I don't need to do that. I'm truth. I'm transparency. I'm openness. I'm holy. I've already revealed what I am. I'm God Almighty. My name's already revealed. It's the first time I've gotten you to admit what you are. Now, Jacob, now that we've had a face-to-face, you see, God can't change us in areas we need change of as long as it's only His face looking on us to have mercy on us or whatever. God can bless you, but He can't change you. The only way that God can experience change in our life is when two faces are bound toward each other. When it's His face and my face. Yes, Lord, the word that you're giving is true. I don't like it. It's burning me up. I thought prophecy was meant for just edification and for blessing. And yes, it is. But somebody should have told all the prophets in the Bible that it was only for edification and blessing. Listen, I believe in edification. I believe in blessing. And I believe that those that don't have the call, the calling, and the mantle of a prophet, and all you have is the gift of prophecy, you should limit your prophecies to uplifting words, words of blessing, words of inspiration, and the such that we've just mentioned. Because if you have the gift of prophecy, you can't read the mind of God. You can only hear what He's telling you at that moment. And sometimes His voice and other voices sound much the same. Sometimes your aggravation toward that individual could get mixed up a little bit. So unless you carry the mantle of a prophet, and you're one of these people that hear the voice of God because He said, I will let your lips be my lips, and I will speak through them, says the Lord. That's what He says to His prophets. And He also says that they're seers. They see what they see God do, they do. But if you just have a gift of prophecy, you'd be better off just to limit all of your prophecies over people to just edification and blessing and reassuring and comfort and things like this, which is the correct way to do things. This part of the Peniel message is a part where I see people that have been in a church 20 years and they've never really been honest with God in the whole time that they've been there. God's face has come to us over and over, but their face hasn't reciprocated. In this experience, read well that scripture that we have covered today in 32:30, because it said, I have seen God face to face. Not, he didn't say, I have seen God's face and was preserved. I have seen God face to face. There's two faces here. Two faces. In Psalm 27:8, David is saying of the Lord, when you said to me, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. When the Lord says it's time to do business and I want your face looking at my face, he said, I quit asking for blessing. I quit asking you to reveal your hands and to touch and to bless and to heal and to do all these things that I'd like you to do and prosper me. He didn't see God's hands when God said, seek my face. He didn't see God's feet. He didn't see God's heart. He sought God's face. David said, when you said to me, seek my face, my heart said, all right, Lord, it's your face I will seek. And this brings me to the place of Jacob. Not only did God bring Jacob to a place where he would reveal his face, but Jacob wrestled with God for God to see God's face. And this is what God is saying. I want you to seek me until you see my face. I want you to seek my face. God's face isn't always easy to find. That's why it says in the next verse, verse 9, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. So I want to point something out to you. God says, I want you to seek my face. Because David is saying, when your face is not toward me, it's because you're angry with me. Have you ever noticed a couple driving down in a car? One of them's talking or doing whatever, and the other one's just looking out the window off the side over here. The one that's looking out the window has a problem. They're either depressed, suppressing their anger, or they're just outright so angry that if they just so much as look at the other person, they'll probably blow up in their face. You know what, church? It's time for us to live in honesty, transparency, and openness. Let me ask you something. How much heaven is it going to be to you when suddenly, from one day to another, you're popped into a world where all things are known? Where every thought, can you imagine for a moment if for 24 hours every thought that you had everywhere you went was heard by everybody, seen and known by everybody? Would that be comforting or discomforting? The honest truth is it'd be very discomforting. Would that be heaven? You know, the church is so far away from where God needs us to be that heaven won't be heaven for us. They're going to have to start us off in some corner somewhere in the dim shadows of the morning. Because we are not used to light. We're not used to the transparency of God where he says what he needs to say and where we're honest with him in return. We could have sent somebody to hell 20 minutes before on our way here because they crossed in front of our car and yet prayed for somebody to make it to heaven. How dishonest is that? How freaky shameful is that? You know what the word freaky is? You know when there's some weird stuff going on, it's freaky? Church is freaky. We do some freaky stuff. We're so false. We're so false, we don't know how to be real. Peniel is about face to face, two faces. You see, if we hide our face from God, we don't have a face to face, we only have a face. If God hides his face from us, we still don't have a face to face. Whoever's hiding their face, the other one has to seek them out. I have some good counsel for some people here tonight, including myself. When the Lord's face is hidden from you, you know it. The only way you're going to get him to look again is you're going to have to find it. When God's face isn't facing you, search for it. Like hidden treasure. Seek it out until you find it. But please expect that many a time the presence of the Lord is drawn near to you and you're too full of it to give many time of the day because you're too busy living your life and you've hidden your face from Him. Far too many times in a service, God has come in His presence to us. And many will say and remark, what a tremendous service that was. How close to heaven we felt. And all we allow God to do is just put the influences of heaven upon us. But when it came to God touching things in our life that needed to change, we weren't willing to give Him our face. We were looking the other way. We were hiding in every way possible. Even if we come up to pray, we're looking down at the floor. There's no way we're going to look up into heaven and let God look straight down our neck, because we know what we're into. I think that the life of God and Christians is mainly one trying to seek the face of the other out, and vice versa. Oh, beautiful moments when both can connect. Oh, wonderful transformations that have happened in lives around the world when the two connect. When God comes and is willing to do business, and we're not running, we're not hiding, we're not being dishonest. Honey, God's come to break your chains. The power of God is here to break the chains that have bound you for years, some that go back to your childhood. Do you want God to set you free? Huh? Do you want God to really set you free? Oh yeah, I could use some freedom. Oh fool. If you just say that moment, all my life I've fought with this adulterous spirit. I want to be set free from it. I want God that's come to do business today, to do business with me, and face the Lord with that. And immediately the power of God would surge into your body and life and bust those chains forever. What would you like God to do for you? Well, I could use more money. Why don't you start with, I'm addicted and I need to be set free? Why do we avoid facing God face to face? God wants our face. He wants to change us. We pray, God, change me. God, transform me. God, take me out of what I'm in. Break this cycle in my life of addiction. Break this power that's over my life where it's like a ceiling and I can't get out. Break this straitjacket over my life where I can't really come into the true meaning for life. God comes. His presence is near. His power is there. We sense that anointing. His face is ever before us. We see that He's there to do business. We get cold feet. It's like, oh, well, I do you know what one we pull on God all the time? I don't think I'm ready. I don't think I'm ready. Do you know how many people have been preached to about salvation and they didn't think they were ready and suddenly had a car accident and they didn't have time to get ready? Even when God warns them that the time is short, they're not quite ready. I told the story of my brother-in-law's father. My sister's husband, Robert Oslin, his father, who was a policeman in Los Angeles. He and his buddy went to a service where there was a very well-known evangelist preaching. I've told the story before. The evangelist that was preaching stopped. And he said, there's someone today that the Lord says, this is your last opportunity to accept the Lord as your Savior. This is your last opportunity. And kept preaching. He was hardly done when his partner come in the same squad car, and they were partners in as policemen. They were both always together. And he hit him with his elbow and he said, I'm going. I believe that was for me. And the other guy says, nah, there's always time. They always tell you that. He said, are you sure? He said, come up with me. I'll take you up with me. No, no, no. He said, well, I'm not staying here. I'm going. So he went down and gave his heart to the Lord. He became a minister. Had a tremendous ministry of healing, power, and deliverance. But gave his life to the Lord that day. When the service had finished, they got a call on their radio of an armed robbery. And they were in the vicinity. So both of them went running out, jumped in the squad car, and left. And they saw the robber crossing the street out of, I don't know what it was, a bank or whatever. He was crossing, he was armed. And so both of them came to a stop with a car, jumped out, pulled out their guns, and were running toward it. And this man shot, Bob Osland's father, both Robert Thor Osland's, junior and senior, or one and two. And Robert Osland's father went this way, and the other man, to cut him off, went that way. As the man turned around, just as he was turning the corner, he shot back at somebody toward the bank, just as the man crossed the line of fire and got the bullet in the head and dropped dead. That was the man that didn't heed the word of the Lord. And see, many times God comes face to face, but we're not ready. We think that we have all the time in the world. Now, this isn't a scare tactic. All I'm saying is that the things of God are real. When Jacob says that he met God face to face, Peniel means that both were ready at the same time. But I wanted you to see that Jacob wrestled with God. He wanted to see God's face. We spend most of our energies running from God. We don't want to see his face. We only complain when he doesn't show it to us when we want him to. Amen? We need to get together on this. We need to get together on this. Because many times God has come to visit us in this place. We're not ready. We're not ready to be honest with God. I know that it scared some of you many a time when you hear somebody pop open and they start telling God all this stuff and thinking, oh God, where can I hide? What's wrong with this guy? Doesn't he have any sense to know that that's not what you do anymore? I mean, didn't his mother teach him not to be honest like that? I mean, he's don't tell, you know, God or people. I mean, he's... Preacher asks you if you want to be free from something, the last thing you tell him is what you need to be free from. Just tell him you have a toe ache, you know, whatever. Face to face. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, he says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and pray, and listen to this, and seek my face. God wants us to seek his face. That's what we were doing for a little while today with that song. Shine your light, blaze away, set our hearts on fire. To where we want God seriously. We don't just want to come to church, be patted on the head, give an offering, feel good about it, and leave. But where we come to do business with God, where we come to show Him our face and be honest with God and open and delighted with Him. Hosea 5:15, I will return again to my place. God says, I'm going to return to my place in heaven. I'm not going to manifest myself on earth anymore till they acknowledge their offense, till they become honest about their situation. Many times the Spirit of the Lord lifts off of our life because we're living the way we want to live and we're not willing to let God get in it and change us. It says then they will seek my face in their affliction and they will at that time diligently seek me out. So God says that He's going to just return. He's going to lift off of your life until you begin to seek His face again. Now there's a lot about this Psalms 30:7, O Lord, when you favored me, you made me secure and strong as a mountain, but when you hid your face, I was dismayed and troubled. So when God is ready to favor you, what is the first thing He does? Show you His... He said, Lord, when you favored me, but when you hid your face. So what's the contrast? When you were showing your face, you favored me. You strengthened me. I felt strong like a mountain. But when you hid your face, I was in serious trouble. And so, I think sometimes that the face reveals. I know I'm being a little bit long here tonight, but I may have to do this in two sections, but, cause I haven't even gotten to 2 Corinthians 3:18 where I really wanted to go tonight, so we'll just probably go on Sunday. But here, when the face of the Lord was hidden from him, he received no favor. Now, do you realize that in the face, it's revealed whether you found favor with somebody or not? Did you know that? You can tell by somebody's face if you found favor with them or not, or when you've lost it. Do you remember the verse that Jacob that talks about Jacob in Genesis. Turn to it, to Genesis 31, 2. Turn to it real quick. Now here's Jacob. He observed one day as he was looking at his father-in-law that his face didn't reveal the same stuff it had up till then. He was one happy grandpa with his kids, and he had found favor in his eyes, and everything was good. But this one day, Jacob notices something in Genesis 31, 2. It says, and Jacob saw the countenance of Laban. Now, is that unusual for you? Now, he was living with the guy. How unusual was that he saw his countenance? That was an everyday experience. What was the different part? What follows? And indeed, it was not favorable toward him as before. That means that one day he was looking at Laban and there was favor revealed to him. So you can reveal favor. David says about God, God, when you looked away, favor left. But when you looked toward me, favor began. I was favored when you looked at me. You can tell favor from a face. If you found favor with somebody, you can tell. Amen. Isn't it something how God has given us a spirit of discernment? Women seem to have that more than men do. They have it down pat. They can tell in one living half a heartbeat if you're honest or if you're fake. If you really mean what you're saying or not. In fact, before you even open your mouth to talk, they already have this eighth sense. We all have six. We call it sixth sense, because we all guide ourselves by five. They can tell. They have discernment. They don't like this guy. Never met him. They just don't like him. Something inside of them is telling them this guy's bad. To the core. He hasn't had a chance to even say hello. He's bad to the core already. I've often said that women can see things in an eye that men haven't been trained to see. No wonder in the Psalms 31 verse 16 says, make your face to shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. He equals salvation to God showing his face. How many of you have been aware in your life that God has hid his face from you? How many have been aware when his face is shined toward you? Yeah. You can tell. Now what God is talking about is not just one face toward you or your face toward him. It's getting together on this. It's face to face. We have a song that we sing. Face to face shall I behold him. Beyond the cloudy sky over there where it's blue. We know that someday we're going to see him face to face, and we're going to hope that we're ready for that. A lot of people aren't going to be ready for a face to face encounter. We're going to get ready here. Do you know why? The places that never experience a face to face encounter have so many thousands of people in them, and they're so great and large churches and popular, and everybody wants to go there. No face. Do you know why people like to go to large churches? Because they don't know your face from Adam or Eve's. Great hiding place. All we are is a statistic. We're 5,231. Who knows who the 31 is? Who knows who 4,717 is? Nobody. You can hide. Oh, but God have mercy when you belong to a church like 30 people here. And God wants to see you face to face. There is just no place to hide. You just got to take it. God have mercy. You're handling truth very well tonight.
God wants to take us an extra step where we seek out the face of God, Jacobs. We need to seek out the face of God. We have to know what He's thinking about us. God, what do you want to change in me? Let's do business. I want to seek out your face. Face to face encounter with God.